We're good. All right. We should be good. Okay. I'd like us to corporately lift up our sister Judy Riley this morning. She had surgery on her foot, and Judy has had a lot of very difficult things in recent years, but she had a big boot on her foot apparently, and you know, it fit well at first, but as the swelling went down and her foot got better, the boot was a little too big, and she must, I'm not sure what happened, she caught it on something. Well, she tripped and fell, and she took a fall, and she is not here today, and very discouraged, very very discouraged. So please lift up our sister, and if you feel so led to drop her a line or give her a call, let her know that you're thinking about her. The one thing that she said to me that she was most unhappy about is she said, I don't get to come to church again. Her heart is to be here and part of the body. So let's lift her up this morning. Father, we pray for our sister Judy. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would touch her. Lord, that you would touch her foot, that you would touch her body. Lord, all of the things that are so troubling to her at this time and the pain that she struggles with, Father, we pray that you would release her from that, touch her foot. Lord, any bumps and bruises and things that she sustained from falling, we pray that you would touch her. But Lord, most, she needs some encouragement in her heart and spirit where she feels pretty hopeless at this point, Lord. And God, you always want us to have hope in you. Though our outward man perishes, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And we pray for a renewing of Judy's spirit today, that you would lift her up and that your presence would just be present and evident in her home where she is, and that encouragement would flood her heart, that she would be able to trust and believe you. And Lord, that you would bring, you would draw, I pray, a line in the sand this far and no further, that God, she would be able to be delivered from these problems and the pain that accompanies them. Help her and be with her in Jesus' name. Wow, I feel really loud. I don't think I'm a really, really loud person either. I think it's artificial. Am I really loud?
No?
Okay. I felt like I was ringing. I might get louder. Once I get going, I might get a little louder. So you might wish that I hadn't put it back. But okay. Well, we have been looking at the names of God. We're kind of rolling to the conclusion of all the time that we're going to spend here. But understanding God and understanding His names. Yes? Okay. There it is. You did it. All right. Well, the scripture says we should be slow to speak and slow to get angry, so our computer is being scriptural today. That's right. So, okay, the names of God reveal His character, and they help us to understand who God is, but our relationship with Him. Today I want to look at the name Yahweh Rohi. There are a number of variants of this in the scripture. Sometimes this is Yahweh Reah or Yahweh Roi. When you hear those names, it's all the same attribute. It's all the same thing. Yahweh Reah or Rohi is the Lord, my shepherd. And this is primarily seen in the 23rd Psalm, probably arguably one of the best known chapters in the Bible. I seem to always hear this when I go to someone's funeral. The Lord is my shepherd. And I hate that I tend to hear that always associated with a funeral, because it has everything to do with life and the Lord leading and the Lord guiding and directing. The word rohi or roe, from which all these variants to this name are derived, means shepherd in Hebrew. It speaks of shepherd, but an extended translation of this word is re'ah. There's so many facets to the Hebrew language. I wish that I had another lifetime to learn it and understand it. And so I just have to be satisfied with my minute understanding. But it's so fascinating. The word re'ah not only implies shepherd, but it is the implication is friend or companion. So it's much, much deeper than the Lord is my shepherd. It's talking about the Lord being your friend, your companion. So there's the shepherding aspect, but there's a way more intimate relationship there than we might get as shepherd, sheep. Shepherd, sheep. Get into pen. Go drink. You know, yank back. It's not like that. When combined with Yahweh Re'ah or Rohi can be translated, the Lord is my friend. The obvious metaphors in the 23rd Psalm when we see that are the shepherd and the sheep. And I have to tell you, I really struggled with this message. I said, God, I don't want to teach on this. And one of the reasons I didn't want to was because about 8-9 years ago, there was like this preponderance of teaching about the 23rd Psalm and the shepherd and the sheep. And all I was hearing was sheep, 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 we're sheep, we're sheep, we're sheep. And I was like, make it stop. And a lot of the teaching that I heard was about the nature of sheep. And part of that teaching that I got over and over, and I heard over and over, is that sheep are basically stupid. They're dumb. They're really dumb animals. And they'll eat themselves off a cliff. They'll eat it to the ground. They wander away. They're really, really dumb. And all of this teaching just kept reinforcing to me, you're a dumb sheep. You are a dumb, stupid sheep, and you need a shepherd. I want to tell you that there comes a breakdown to these analogies in the scripture. As his sheep, we are not dumb, we are not defenseless, we're not helpless. It's not the identity of the believer. We're not dumb, we're called to be wise. I hope I put this up here. Next. Oh, and now this is... Okay, so where we actually have a little bit. Colossians 1, 9, and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Does that sound like a dumb sheep? No. No. And that's not what we're called to. We're not helpless. We're called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're called to wear our armor. We're called to be overcomers. There's so much more to that. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd and says his sheep know him. And yes, we are his sheep, but the comparison is Jesus as the shepherd, not so much us as the sheep. Did you know that not everything in Scripture is meant to be taken literally? Pastor Dave, what did you say? Yeah, I said it. Not everything in Scripture is meant to be taken literally. Click it.
Hopefully it'll go.
Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Or no, Matthew 18, 8 and 9. It says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. For it would be better for you to enter into life with one eye or only one hand or one foot than to go into the fire of hell. So, that's what it says. Have any of you ever had sinned with your eye? Sister Denise, as your brother in Christ who loves you, I'm going to help you. So would you come up here? I want to gouge your eye out.
Oh, sure.
Because that's what the scripture says. If it sins, gouge it out. Well, don't we believe that the word of God is true? Well, that's not what... We're not called to maim ourselves, are we? I mean, if we were, we'd all be walking around with one eye and one hand and walking around on one stump. You know, that'd be the way it is. And then what do you do if suddenly, oh no, I sinned with the other eye. Now you got to cut, they're both gone. It's hyperbole. And what Jesus is saying is take a radical stand against sin. Cut it out of your life. But you understand what I'm saying. When Peter came to Jesus and said, shall I forgive my brother seven times? Do you know the rabbis taught them that they should forgive their brother three times? So Peter thought he was being real gracious in Matthew 18, a little bit farther down. I guess we're not going to have any slides today. I don't know what's going on. But Matthew 18, 21 and 22, he says, shall I forgive my brother seven times? And Jesus says, no, 77 times. Or some of the translations say 70 times 7. So it's either 77 or 490. So what does that mean? 77 times. So you have the really irritating Uncle Harold who bugs the life out of you, and you forgive him, and you forgive him, and you forgive him, but boy, you're waiting for time number 78. Wait till you get to 78. Pow, it's off the cliff with you. It's not what Jesus means. He's saying, extend forgiveness over and over and over. So when it talks about us being sheep, understand, there are things in Scripture that just the analogies have to break down. And the problem is some people sometimes take them and push them to their limits. And that's where we get into real, real weird stuff. So please remember that you are not a dumb sheep. You are not. However, we do know that sheep need to be led. We'll look at that in just a minute. But remember that this is a title for God. He is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. And notice that it says in Psalm 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, mine. There's something personal about that. When David said that, that was to counteract the Hebrew thinking of God being something distant, a distant, impersonal God that they couldn't approach. The Lord is my shepherd and my friend shepherd. That had to be somewhat revolutionary to the minds of Hebrews who were told, stay away from God, stay back, don't get too close, stay away from the curtain, don't do anything, stay away. There's another facet of revelation in that God wants to have a personal, a very personal and very intimate relationship with us as our shepherd friend. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord who is my shepherd and friend. Isaiah 57:15. Look at that. It's there. For thus says the Lord, ask and ye shall receive. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, and with the oppressed and humble in spirit, to restore the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So I am a God in heaven, and I am a God near, and I care about your needs. John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. This is really the name for Jesus when we look in the New Testament. This is just another way of Jesus showing us that he is God. Do you see it over and over and over in the scriptures? Even as we look at the names of God, we see the Trinity. We see that Jesus is God. Because just as we find in the Old Testament that he is our shepherd, Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. There it is. And in verse 3 it says, he calls his sheep by name. Do you know that God knows your name? He knows your name. You are not an impersonal person to him. He knows you. John 15:15, Jesus said, I have called you not my servants, not my slaves, but my friends. That's why we sing that song. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. And he knows my name. He knows our name. That is true. Are we going to be able to get Isaiah? Do I have Isaiah 53:6 back there, Ez? Be nice if that one was able to come up. If it can't, I'll read it. But I'm sorry, Ed, that you're back there with technology that is failing you. It's a horrible feeling to be there and not be able to make it work. I'll have to play with it after service. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. What do sheep do? They stray. They wander around. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when it talks about us being astray and that God or the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, what that tells us is that we can be led. We can be led. We can be led by God. Jesus will lead you. I think I had John 16:13. I hope I did. I did. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So this concept of the shepherd means that we can hear and be led by the Spirit of God. And that means that not only can we pray and God can speak to us. I love it when I pray for God's leading and he speaks to me. Sometimes it's just like clear leading. Other times you pray and amen, and there's nothing there. So what do? Then you have to believe God that he's going to lead you, that you're going to make the best decision you can and trust him to lead and guide you. As I'm sharing this, I'm just so struck. There's somebody here. I hear it in my spirit. You're here, and you're struggling with a leading of God in your life. And you're not sure what to do, not sure maybe should I go this way, that way, something. God is going to lead you. You can trust him to lead you by his spirit. Whoever you are, you lay hold of that. God will lead you. He can give you that direction. And even when you don't know, I mean, I just love it. Yesterday, we were walking around the house, and my wife was like, I can't find this. She's playing with the Southern Tier Symphony last night and today, and she had to have this black blouse and looking all over, and she couldn't find it. And I just said, God, show me where it is. And I knew right away. The Lord showed me one of my kids' bedrooms. I walked in, opened the door. There it was. Yeah. I picked it up. I'm like, God, why can't it work like that every time? Because it doesn't. Sometimes, you know, you pray and you just have to move forward and trust God. And sometimes there's more faith involved when you don't hear than when you do. So, but God is faithful. He will lead you. Genesis 48. Hey, Ed. Whatever you did, you're doing, oh, the little wheelie thing, right? I bet that's it. Okay, so Genesis 48:15. May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, this is Jacob, and he is praying a blessing over Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. But look at what he says as he prays over them. May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. Notice in the middle, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Who was Jacob? Think about Jacob. You know what his name means? Deceiver, supplanter, usurper. Jacob was a pain in the neck. He was a real pain in the neck to his brother Esau. He was a pain in the neck to his father Isaac. And God made sure that Jacob got a little of his own medicine when he went to live with Laban. But Jacob was not the sterling person that we like to think of in a patriarch. He was a pain. He was a deceiver. He was a liar. And he says here that God had been his shepherd all his life to that day. He led him and guided him despite all of his faults. Yahweh Rohi can be your personal shepherd regardless of your past failures or your personal faults. Can you hear that? Yahweh Rohi can be your shepherd regardless of your past failures or your present faults. Aren't you glad of that? Thank God. Or I'd be like vaporized instantly. Verse 2 of Psalm 23, I don't know if I have it up there, but it says, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. I just went to the wrong place. He says, I shall not want. There we go. I shall not want. So what does that mean? I shall not want. Well, I want a lot of things. I can think of a few things I would really like to have right now. I shall not want. So when he says, this means ultimately that we find ourselves completely dependent upon God. The word want is the Hebrew word chaser. It means to lack or to decrease or to be needy, to not have it. But it implies two things. And number one, there are areas of my life only God can fulfill and will fulfill. I would say there probably isn't any area of your life that God doesn't want to fulfill. But number two is the really important kicker. Number two, make the decision not to desire anything outside of the scope of what God wants. You know how the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence? But you know, as soon as you start wanting things outside of the scope of what God's will is for you, that's where we get into trouble. When we say, I shall not want, that means if we are satisfied with the will of God and what He's doing in our lives. We don't need anything else. As long as I'm submitted to His shepherding, I can be satisfied. I can. In the same place, David says, I shall not want. He also speaks about, later on in the chapter, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. David didn't say, I shall not want, only in the season where I got everything. I shall not want because everything's great. I got everything I want. But he's talking about also in the season of darkness. And the satisfaction God provides is not conditional. And if you say, well, if only this had happened, then I'd be happy. Or if only this hadn't happened, then I'd be happy. But when the Lord is our shepherd, we don't have to lack anything, period. Period, period, period. The problem is that the natural person, our natural man, we have a lack mentality. And our society, our culture doesn't help much. You watch TV or you read a magazine or something where they say, you should have a new car because you deserve it. You're special. Oh, be quiet. You know, the natural man talks about, it tells us that we have a lack of this, a lack of that, always thinking of what we don't have or what we haven't done or what we haven't achieved. If Jesus is your shepherd, it doesn't matter what you've done or what you've accomplished. God is enough. God is enough. An empty cup can't pour into itself and a sheep can't lead itself. We have to be dependent on Him and we can't be truly fulfilled without God, but with Him we shall not want. Wow, my notes are really a mess. Verse 2 talks about, he says, He leads me. He makes me to lie down and He leads me. What did Jesus say in John 15:5? He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus knows where He's going. Oh, there, look at that. Jesus knows where He's going. And I'm constantly surprised at now when they appear. If you want to go to the next one, I think there's another little surprise there. Interestingly enough, it says He leads me. Matthew 4:19, Jesus tells His followers, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. The important thing there is he wants us to be willing to be led. And when you're willing to be led, what happens? Follow me and I will make you. I like to stop it there for a minute. Follow me and I will make you. I'm going to do that work in your life. If you will allow yourself to be led and follow me and I will make you. You ever try to make yourself? That really stinks. It's terrible. But when we follow Him, He has the power. If we are led, His leading is His making. His leading is His making. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, the job of the shepherd is to bring his herd to a green place to dwell, to lay down, and to have a good feeding place to eat. He brings us to green pastures. Do you know that God has brought you to a really green place? We have something. We have this word that we can feed on. It is the greenest pasture. You can eat and you will never get overweight. You will never have to diet. It won't make you too fat. It just makes you strong. It makes you ripped. You can be a bodybuilder in the spirit because you can feed on that very green place in the Word of God. And it'll fill you. It'll transform you. It'll change your life. Wow, the Word of God. And then even more so, it says He makes me lie down in green pastures, but then it says He leads me beside still waters. That It literally means the waters of rest. The Hebrew is my menoshat. It means restful, peaceful, not stirred up, not turbulent, not rushing waters. It means that they're peaceful. Matthew 11, I hope I have that. Yay! Matthew 11, 28 through 32, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you know, God does not want your heart to be stirred up. He wants you to have a place of rest so that you can be in the middle of everything going crazy and still have a heart that can be at rest. Because the rest that Jesus gives is not determined by what's happening in your life and what's happening around you. It's not based on that. It's based on Him. And what He wants is for you to be able to have a heart that's at rest. Take my yoke upon you. Get rid of the other yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He doesn't want to hang a heavy thing on you. The Jews were walking around with this yoke of the law, and it was just terrible. Jesus wanted them to have a yoke that was light, not burdensome. John 14, 27, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. I give to you, I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Rest. He wants you to come to that place of restfulness beside the still waters. Verse 3, He restores my soul. Oh, how many of you would like your soul restored? My God, please restore my soul. But remember, again, the focus is on the shepherd, not so much the sheep. We cannot restore ourselves. When I was a kid, I read this book called Psycho-Cybernetics. It was one of these big buzz books that was going around. And if you read this thing, it was supposed to fix you. You were supposed to become super positive and your problems would go. And I read it, and that book made me so mad. I don't know what I did with it. I think I threw it against the wall or something. It's like, I can't do this. No, you can't. You can't restore yourself. So restoration. This psalm gives us a couple keys to having our soul restored. Restoration in this psalm consists of, here comes the nice three easy points. Please understand that it never distills down to that, but it makes it easier for me. Three steps to restoration. Number one is rest. We just talked about it. Finding the place of rest where your heart is not always stirred up. Where, you know, it says that we should no more be children tossed to and fro with every wind that goes by. Learn to rest. Learn to trust in God. But secondly, number two, reflection. In other words, we need to see things from God's perspective. David's soul was restored as he looked at life from God's perspective. Matthew 6, 32 and 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles strive after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, when you see from God's perspective, you see what's really important is the kingdom of God. Rest in your heart and spirit, and then reflecting on what God's perspective is in your life. And then lastly, replenishment. He prepares a table for me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Replenishment. Matthew 4:4. But Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you need your soul restored and you want to have that restoration, rest. Come to find Jesus' place of rest in your heart. Number two, look at life from his perspective. And number three, replenishment. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became my joy and my heart's delight. We have that green place where we can come and feed richly on the word that's going to strengthen you, and it will restore your soul. Get into the word. Don't starve yourself. Don't be a starving sheep. You know, I know when I start to get into trouble. I got on a flight and I went down to see my brother Jim, still in the hospital, still really struggling. But when I went down there, I got out of my regular spiritual disciplines. I was with a whole bunch of people. I was in a strange place. My time was their time. I didn't get to have my prayer time. I didn't get to have the word the way I normally would. I made sure I got into the word. I found a place to kind of read, but it was just a different season. But when I came back, I was out of sync, and I went a few days where I wasn't really where my prayer life and everything ought to be. And you know, I started wondering, why am I struggling with stuff? Why are the kids at school driving me so crazy? Why am I having trouble with my thought life? What is going on? And then suddenly I realized, I'm not in the green pasture anymore. Get back in the green pasture. Get by the still waters. And you know, when you get outside of that, your life starts to get a little wobbly, a little haywire. You get very far from that, and you're going to be in trouble. You don't stick close to the shepherd, you're not going to be under his protection. You're not going to be in his place. Get in that place. Make sure you're by that rest, those restful waters. Be eating at that green pasture where you get replenishment, and understand, put yourself under the shepherd, and you'll see your life from his perspective. He'll keep your heart at peace. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you are Yahweh Rohi. You are our shepherd. Lord, we thank you that it's your heart's desire to take us by the hand like children and lead us as we grow, to help us to grow, just like a parent leads their children and helps them to grow to maturity. Father, help us to be willing to be led. Help us to be willing to stay close enough to hear your voice, Lord, when you speak to us. Help us not to get far afield. Help us to stay in the green pastures where we feed on your word, where we are at a place of rest because we're looking to you and we're seeking your face and we're praying, Lord. Father, we thank you that it's your heart to shepherd us, that we could be at rest and at peace, that we could be in green pastures and have still waters. And none of that, Lord, we know none of that has to do with what's going on around us. It's all about what's going on inside us. Help us to have our hearts yielded to our shepherd. Thank you, Father, for that. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. And Lord, I just want to pray for that one that's struggling with your leading, Lord. I pray that you would manifest your will and that you would put a peace in them. Lord, we know that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, and you can deposit a peace in a direction, whether we're certain or not. So, Father, help that one with whatever they have to decide. I don't know what it is, but I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you would help them to find a place of rest in you about all of that. And, Father, we thank you for your leading this week. God, we pray that as we go, that you would lead us to people who have no rest and have no green pasture and who really need Jesus. Lead us to people, Father, that need to hear your word of life. Help us to be Christ bearers. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer today, please come. don't make me come and find you. I try not to do that. I don't like to force myself on people, but once in a while, I will come and find people and say, hey, I think you need prayer. So if you're here today and you would like someone to agree with prayer, in prayer with you, please come up. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week, and continue to believe God for everything He has. Thank you, Father. God bless you.